Yeah.
You know, in terms of.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Everything
else,
thank you.
Love is mine. God gave this land to me, this brave and ancient land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her heathen plain, then I see a land where children can run free. So take my hand, walk this land with me, and walk this lovely when you are by my side. With the help of God, I know I can be strong.
Well, good evening and happy Shabbat to one and all. We're here with Kirk this evening. And Kirk, you sent me a statement at the end of last show. It was from the 119th Mizmor about the importance of the Torah, some of those words. And I began to think about it this evening and then retreated to where we had left off on our last program. And it dawned on me that what you had sent me and where we are directly related. So I thought today we would start back on the this review of Dode's testimony as it's recorded in Shamuel, listen to him, and then see how that plays into the 119th Psalm and see if there's a relationship that can be determined between them. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. This is, I actually spent, sat up late the other night, and I've read a whole book on, small book, but a whole book on Hebrew grammar, and I said, and I actually liked it. But
oh,
I finally figured out. Hey, JB, I finally figured out the distinctions between the coortive and the imperative and the jussive. I was really proud of that. I can't remember a whole lot else, but I got that down, which I was looking for. So.
Yeah, that may be one of my, you know, I probably have 20 favorites in Hebrew grammar. But moods, the coortive and, you know, the jussive, for example, are among my favorites because they push everything into free will and a matter of will and choice and what we opt to do. You know, God is not directing us. He wants us to choose. And you can think of a language where choice is presented in first, second, or third person. Isn't that a marvelous thing?
Absolutely. And that's exactly what it is, yeah.
Oh. And JB, I know that you've studied the moods, and I'm sure come to the same conclusion that each of the moods convey volition. Even the mood that is most consistent with the only one that actually can underscore a command or an order, its primary use is to express a choice in the second person, where the Jussive is in the third person and coordinative is the first person. But I know you've been having an enlightened discussion even on masculine and feminine endings and how they sometimes differ if the noun is masculine or feminine or how the noun ends. Have you learned anything that you think would be insightful to translation in that regard?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was Mike, a friend of mine, emailed. It was about the pluralization, where certain words, when they're pluralized, you know, for a masculine word, the pluralization is the YM or Yod Mem to pluralize it, but the feminine is, and let me bring it up real quick, because actually he just was looking, he just responded back to me in an email, but it's got the ought ending. But there are certain masculine words, like he pointed out, father, that when it's pluralized is given the off ending, not the M ending. And we got into a whole, he had a whole theory on why that would be. That was really interesting. It's about, you know, the words that he found that do that tend to be words that are singular for a definitive, like there is only one father. Yeah. So while we may have fathers on earth, it's not the same. So that would be a reason Yahweh chose to use a feminine ending as opposed to the masculine ending for father. In that regard, I thought it was really
interesting that you have some like El, and El from the shortened of Eloah, and then but it's in the plural, and El is clearly masculine, but in the plural, it's Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
So there are exceptions to the rule, and to find out why there are exceptions, I'm sure would be an interesting study. I think we could plumb the depths of Hebrew grammar forever. And just continue to learn. I know it was a huge part of why I needed to rewrite yada yada some 7 times is that, you know, the first time to try to render the roots words as accurately as completely as possible, and then as we move through it, and then it became, well, let's convey the stems that establish a relationship between the subject and object as completely and accurately as possible, and then it was, well, let's convey the meaning of the conjunctions, ongoing or a completed action. And then, well, we want to make sure we convey the importance of the moods because they convey volition. And so as we made our way through the text, each time we tried to plumb more from it. You know, I've always wondered why, you know, some words like mikra in the plural is mikrae, not Mikraim. So, why is that the case?
I was out of my mind.
I kind of wish there was time to question everything, don't you?
Yeah. That's why I went to the...
Well, we'll have all the time in the world. We'll be able to ask the person who created the language why he did it eventually.
That's absolutely true. I have been
kind of like, you know,
returned
I
to writing and translating. Yes, I did complete the third to last chapter of the second volume of Observations for Our Time about 3 weeks ago, and now I'm about halfway through the second to last chapter, which is a in-depth retranslation and rewrite of the chapter I'd written for Yada Yada in the seventh volume of the 17th chapter, where the timeline for the ultimate beginning of the time of Jacob's trouble is laid out, and oh my, and it just, you know, as you go through things, and I wrote that chapter probably within the last 3 years, certainly, you know, 2 to 3 years, and well, there were a lot of really interesting insights that I was reading my commentary on in the translations, but what I found is that all the way through it, I'm writing twice as much as I did the first time through. And there are times like this morning where the fingers couldn't fly fast enough because they're just so, if you really search the meaning of every word, there are so many clues that tell you exactly what you need to know. And the passage I was having so much fun with this morning was the one that talks about a gleaning, you know, and how 2 or 3 from the uppermost branch and then 4 or 5 from the branch that is cut away will be harvested, and you think of all the implications of the words that convey that, and you really have a thorough picture of how many are going to be taken home, why those will, you know, why they're represented by olives, why they have been allowed to remain up to this point, the chronology of events in which this harvest happens. Now, we aren't given a specific year. You know, I've tried to back away from the idea that it's the harvest associated with through is going to happen in 2026. I could, but you know, what's presented is sandwiched between very telling events. You know, and it's sandwiched between the destruction, utter destruction of Damascus, where it's a twisted heap of ruins, and that's close, but it hasn't happened. The cities around it are a twisted heap of ruins, but not Damascus yet. The fall of Syria, that's close too, but it hasn't quite happened. And then, as a result of trying to appease the Islamic jihadists, the dissecting of Israel at her waist, where most of the people live, and while that is certainly what the world wants, and while we've already seen half of it with Gaza gone, the West Bank has not yet been completely surrendered, just partially surrendered. And it's after that, and before the wholesale Islamic war against Israel, the first phase of the Magog War, that this reaping occurs. And it caused me to really also wonder, first, why did I use the term tribulation? You know, Yahweh doesn't speak of a tribulation. And instead, why didn't I just stick to what is in Yirmiyah? Yirmiyah identifies this the same way Yahweh is talking about Israel being thinned at the waist. He doesn't use Israel. He uses Jacob. And his definition, his prediction, his description of those final years is called the time of Jacob's trouble, not a tribulation. And it's really interesting. It's presented in Yirmiyah 30. And we all know what Yahweh says in the chronology of events happens in Yirmiyah 31. You know, where the covenant is reconciled with Yisrael and Yahudah. And so you have to extrapolate and say, well, Jacob represents all 12 tribes, the entirety of Yisrael. And so this is what it's applying to, and we now know the timing is between these events. And then it's fun to say, okay, well, I guess that could be 2026, the fall, or 2027, or 2028, or even 2029, because when you read the text, the time of Jacob's troubles could well be restricted to really the last 3 years or so. You know, prior to that time, it's going to be bad, but it's not going to be nearly as bad as things progress over time.
Let me ask you what about 2029, though, because if you have in the spring of 2029, you have a Apophis hitting, and that's going to affect North America and a lot of Europe, and most of the Yehudim are here. They have to get out before that happens, and then that would also wipe us out as well.
Yeah, what's interesting, though, Kirk, is that Yahweh's only interest is Israel.
Yeah.
And this olive tree that is being reaped is rooted in Israel. And he's talking about Jacob. And he's made it pretty clear that he's bringing his people home.
Mm-hmm.
And so the troubles he's trying to save the people from, to harvest them from, is the onslaught of Israel. And guess what's not going to happen in Israel? Israel is not affected by the Apophis. It's not affected by the tidal wave of the volcanic island, the Carnivia Hill, falling into the sea. And it's not part of that nuclear holocaust, which is the second phase of the Magog War. So, you know, well, I would agree that I don't think 2029 is the most likely. I think that 2026, 27, or 28 are more likely. Not impossible. That was pretty clear. The terms that he used, and this is, I mean, we'll go back into this eventually, but it's really fun to read the terms, because the terms he uses of those that he is harvesting, he's reaping, he's gleaning, are all mature, ripe fruit that has been engaged in bringing successive generations home. They're there for a reason. They were deliberately put there for a reason. Yahweh's using them. He's going to use them to the full extent before he removes them. And I think he's talking about us. Because, you know, there's two branches that are being harvested, and it's pretty clear to me that one of those two is Israel, and the other, and it's not the wholesale of Israel that occurs upon just prior to his return, but the remnant of Israel, but there's also a remnant of Goyim. And it's just, it's a fascinating study. There's so much to learn. It is truly amazing that Christendom only sees the tribulation through the eyes of Paul, who got it wrong, and is unaware of the really plethora of information about its timing and its nature, its size, in the prophets. It's all over the place. Or its definite association. I think many of them have an association with Teruah, but they don't know that the first four void mikra have been fulfilled. And the Teruah is, the purpose of Teruah is enabling the harvest known as Yom Kippur. So it's a fun study, but it's right into the same idea of the closer you look, the more you learn. A lot to know. So let's return to 2 Samuel. Listen to him. 12. This is very close to where we ended the program last week. Indeed, he's speaking to his favorite son, David. When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will take a stand with your offspring, with your seed after you, which to show the way after shall come out from your physical being. I will establish accordingly his kingdom. Now, in this statement, there are two very different conclusions that you can make. One is that which is going to come out of Dode would be the Messiah. Now, that would be a real stretch in that, you know, we're talking about 1,000 years. You know, that's a long way to push out of your physical being. And you have a bit of a challenge here, because guess whose kingdom was not established? Josiah's. And guess whose kingdom is not talked about being established? Josiah's. And guess what kingdom Yahweh has said many times he's going to establish again?
Dode.
So I began to think about this. Let's think about it from this perspective. Indeed, when your days are complete, and you've done, you know, what you've chosen to do, what I've asked you to do, what I've inspired you to do, and written these lyrics. When your days are fulfilled and are thoroughly proclaimed, that's kind of the interesting thing about Mala here. It's not just complete. It means thoroughly proclaimed. And boy, did you do that. And you lie down with your fathers. I will take a stand with your seed. Could we look at the seed of Dode being much, 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 much more powerful, much more enduring, much more prolific than sperm?
Yeah.
What do you think maybe the seed of Dode might be, the Zerah of Dode might be, that is infinitely more productive than sperm?
All those that come to know him through his word?
Words.
That would be it. The words. The words are the seed that from which everything grows. So I will take a stand. This is not Dode taking a stand. I have to chuckle because remember one of the three things I asked Yahweh for is that, you know, if you want me to go out and expose Islam, then I'm not going to market it. We're not going to rely on anything I've done. We're going to do this together, and only together. And it's your responsibility to do whatever you want with it. I'll devote the time with your help to convey the message so long as you're responsible for promoting it. What is the yeah, I was saying here? With your seed, I think your words, I will take a stand. I is Yahweh.
Yeah.
You know, when we've discovered that Yahweh was going to raise a neck from a choder, well, then, who's doing the raising?
Yeah.
You know, the sign is being raised. Isn't by the dummy that wrote it. By Yahweh himself. You know, it's one of the things that I have come to the conclusion of. It goes right back to the conversation that Abraham had with Yahweh. And people think, well, yeah, he negotiated with Yahweh. Oh, well, you know, if you ask Yahweh for something that he has already expressed that he intends to do, you have a really high likelihood of him agreeing with you.
Yeah, most certain.
So if you ask Yahweh to help convey and be responsible for conveying the message that you have derived from his words, you're going to get a yes. That's what I think this represents.
Yes.
Which to show the way shall come out of your physical being. Now, a lot of you would say, well, your flesh, your physical being, and this is Ma'ata, not Bashar. From your internal organs. The internal organs, of course, would be no, I don't think so. No, the internal organs. How about the liver and the heart? The liver is the seat of passion and love in ancient Hebrew, and the heart being the seat of judgment. And so, from your physical being, he's not talking about your flesh here. He didn't use flesh. And so, you think about what did Yahweh say about Dod. He said, he was the great songwriter of Yisrael. He was the man who wrote the lyrics that I inspired. Well, when you sing, it is through the air that you're pushing up through your lungs, through your throat, and across your vocal cords, and it is something that you have to have a physical being to be able to sing those lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so I think that's what he's talking about here. That Dod sang these words. And based upon these words, Yahweh says, I will establish accordingly his kingdom. And I always thought that his was Yosha's until I realized that Yosha doesn't have a kingdom. The kingdom of Yosha would be kind of a silly concept anyway. Yahweh is interesting.
Establish the kingdom of Dod.
He's going to start. Oh, of course, he's going to establish the kingdom of Dod. He made it abundantly clear. So what he's saying is that based upon these lyrics that were sung, the seed, which are the words of those lyrics that were sung by Dod, he's going to establish his kingdom. His being either Yahweh's or Dod's, but not Yosha's. And, I mean, that's so consistent with who Yahweh is. When Yahweh wanted to demonstrate the nature of his teaching, of his covenant, of his willingness and desire to protect those who walked away from religion and politics and listened to him and acted upon his testimony, did he build the Dagon Ark himself? No. Noah built it based on Yah's instructions. When Yahweh wanted to establish his covenant relationship and to explain its nature, did he have a conversation with himself? Did he put it on a CD-ROM?
Okay.
All right. Or put it out for the world to listen to on some kind of a loudspeaker recording? No. He did it with the guy that wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed, Abraham. but a guy who had made the decision to walk away from his country, from religion and politics, and was willing to listen to Yahweh and act upon what he said. He chose to work with him. When Yahweh wanted to free his children from the crucible of human oppression, of religious and political and economic and military oppression in Mitzrayim, Egypt, did he go and do it himself? Sure could have, couldn't he? Sure. No. He asked a broken-down, 80-year-old shepherd, reluctant stutterer, Moshe. And that's how he did it. Do you think that Yahweh could have brought down the 6'6" Goliath? Do you think he needed Dod and the sling and the stone to bring down Goliath?
No.
I don't think so. Yahweh does everything through people. That's the entire point. He wants to form a relationship with us. He created us to engage with us. And so, isn't it just perfect, Yahweh, to say that during the millennial celebration of the Shabbat and Sukkah, that I'm going to engage such that my favorite son is king?
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, he's choosing to work through his favorite person during his favorite time.
You know
it's perfect, Yahweh. Right.
You're building it.
Yahweh trying to rule through the diminished manifestation of himself is just flat out silly, because he's not even coming back as a diminished manifestation of himself. And it's not how he operates. He does everything through men and women who choose to engage in a relationship with him. Do you think, fellas, that we would have a job? That we would be able to do what we're doing? That we would have this opportunity if God didn't like and prefer working through people? His creation?
No. Yeah. There'd be no reason.
That's right. Well, these books, our program, our relationship, what we do is completely based on this idea that is being underscored here, is that during Yahweh's favorite time in the history of his creation, that he is going to establish the kingdom of Dod, to engage with men and women through his favorite individual. And, you know, we're certainly not his favorites, but, you know, it's the difference between being the favorite son and being part of God's family. The distinction is minor enough that at this point,
good place to be.
We're in a good place.
Yeah, either way.
And despite all of our flaws and shortcomings, in fact, that is the point. Because we have flaws and shortcomings and are willing to acknowledge them, Yahweh not only has chosen, but wants to, prefers to, work through us. And how else would a bunch of dunderheads who have, you know, absolutely no credentials that anyone would care about be at the forefront of the most important message in the history of humankind? Pretty cool. So I think he's talking about Dod here.
Yeah.
You know, I've said this before, but the reason the predictions regarding Dod and Yahusha can be intermingled is that Dod explained the Torah and revealed how to correctly observe it, while Yahusha was the living manifestation of the Torah and demonstrated how Yahweh fulfilled it.
Yes.
Now, this next is interesting, because the one that built the family home was Solomon.
That's fault.
But Dod had already brought all the materials together. He had already bought the threshing floor where it was going to be, had devoted his life to be in a position to erect it. And I'm now of the conviction that I was not talking about the building. I think the building was far less important to him than the family home that is his covenant. And I don't think anybody other than potentially Abraham and Moshe contributed more to building and establishing and restoring the family home that is the covenant than did Dode. So he shall build the family home for my name. You know what's interesting? Did Yosha build the family home for Yahweh's name? We don't actually have a single time that Yosha was actually recorded saying Yahweh's name. We know that he must have said it when he recited some passages from the Torah, one of which was what got him conviction that he would be the death sentence by the high priest. But we don't have actual proof that Yahusha ever said Yahusha's name, Yahweh's name. Now, I'm pretty convinced he did. But he certainly wasn't responsible for building the name. But yet, those Psalms establish Yahweh's name, explain Yahweh's name, present Yahweh's name, declare Yahweh's name. They establish the covenant family based on Yahweh's name. So he shall build the family home for my name. And I will establish accordingly the throne of his kingdom. And it will exist as a continuing witness. So let's think about that. Dode, in fact, did more, I think, to explain the covenant and establish it in Yahweh's name. Now, you know, if you look at Moshe, the Torah's presentation of the covenant is a conversation that Yahweh had with Abraham. And yet, we don't have Abraham establishing Yahweh's name. In fact, we don't have Abraham saying Yahweh. Yahweh's name is replete throughout the testimony. But we certainly don't have an indication that Abraham established Yahweh's name, but instead established the covenant with Yahweh. And with Moshe, we have Moshe saying, you know, who should I say is sending me? And, you know, he said, no, tell him I am.
Oh, yeah.
That which will reveal the way to the most beneficial relationship. Asher, who I am. You tell them that Yahweh has sent you the only name that I wish to be known as. But Moshe's purpose in writing down the Torah was to convey Yahweh's guidance, not Yahweh's name. I think Dode does the most complete job of anyone. There's a lot of the prophets to do this as well, but Dode does a magnificent job of establishing Yahweh's name. And so then Yahweh is saying, because he has built and restored the family home, the Beit, for my name, I will establish accordingly the throne of his kingdom forever and ever as a continuing witness. So as Yahweh Kun will fashion and form in an upright manner accordingly the place of honor. No one has a higher place of honor. In fact, if you look at thrones, it would be really hard for us to find anyone who had a throne of honor with Yahweh higher than Dode. Dode had a throne of honor, a seat of honor. Can you name anyone else?
No.
I can't.
Off the top of my head.
No, absolutely not.
No. So that Yahweh was saying, I'm going to establish his seat of honor. And that again is Yahweh. It's not Dode seeking the seat of honor. It's not Dode building himself a seat of honor. Yahweh says, I'm going to establish his seat of honor of his kingdom as a continuing witness. Well, I don't know if you could have a more eternal witness than Yahweh's relationship with Dode and the words that he inspired through him. And, you know, he's not suggesting here that the seat of honor that he's establishing for Dode, because Dode was so essential to restoring the family home in Yahweh's name, is going to be something that was temporary. In other words, Dode's life back in approximately 968 BCE is close to when it came to a conclusion. Or the rise of his kingdom again, beginning in year 6000 Yah, 2033, CE in our Roman pagan calendars. Forever, much longer than that. So there's going to be an element throughout time of Yahweh continuing to work through and guide through his favorite son. I think Dode's going to have a seat of honor forever. And that works really good for me. I think it works good for you fellas because, you know, the best position of all to be in is to be a beneficiary of the covenant's promises without any responsibility other than to enjoy our life in God's family.
Mm-hmm.
Dode's got the responsibility. We get the best part of the bargain. Enjoyment.
I'm down for that.
Yeah.
Me too.
You know, putting these impressions together, it'd be hard to argue against the realization that Dode's principal contribution to Bana Bayeth, building the family home for Yahweh's name, came by way of the lyrics now memorialized in his Mizmor Psalms and his Mashal Proverbs. His profound essays on how to properly observe the Torah and live in a relationship with God lead us home, revealing the nature of the family Yahweh envisioned. This, then, is one of those most profound moments, and let's go through this carefully. Yeah, next Yahweh says, and I will actually and always be Anihaya. I will continually and literally exist for him, towards him, as a father. And he shall always and actually exist for me as a son, which through his association and to show the way, Asher, with him becoming burdened with perversity, I will resolve the dispute by judging him, accusing him, so as to manifest vindication through him. Because of the rods, the weapons, and staves wielded by rulers of nations to punish, kill, and control the races and tribes of mankind, and because of the assault and plague upon the children of Adam. Now, clearly, there are parts of this that apply directly to Yahusha. And again, these two are interchangeable. They're two branches of the same tree, the tree of lives. But I think there's even a way to interpret this as Dode. I don't think it singularly has to be Yahusha. Because for Dode, he said, I will actually and always. He's talking about Dode here, by the way. You know, this is Samuel talking, revealing the words of Yahweh regarding Dode. And I will actually always be for him as a father. And he shall always and actually be for me as a son. That's the relationship Yahweh had with God. Which through this association to show the way with him becoming burdened with perversity. Now we think of the perversity being associated with Yosha. And you know, this is the passage that really led me home. This is the passage where Asher was wrongly translated in every English Bible, such that it said, when he sins, I will not spare the rod. And so I'm thinking, well, this is Yosha. That's impossible, because if he sins, then he's being punished for his own sins, not for yours and mine. But didn't Dote say that his errors were greater than the number of hairs on his head? So, sin was definitely associated with Dote, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Crying out loud, the dude had his chief dude go off and fight a battle that he knew that, or thought that he would be killed because he dug his wife.
Yeah.
Bathsheba. So, dude did some bad things. And yet, it would be fair to say that there are very few things more important to recognize. That Dode's life in and of itself and what Yahweh has to say about him does more to undermine the fulcrum upon which Pauline Christianity pivots than any other. And it's because Pauline Christianity is based on this ridiculous notion that the Torah is comprised of a bunch of laws, that if you break one of them, God's going to send you off to hell. Isn't that the basis of Pauline Christianity? So we had to come up with a new deal?
Mm-hmm.
Circa FDR, we're going to have a new deal? And that new deal, you don't have any responsibility? And you're no longer subject to the laws of the Torah? Just believe. Well, I'm here to tell you, the fact that sin was associated with Dode, and yet Yahweh specifically said Dode was tzedak, right, righteous, vindicated, perfect. That is how he shows the way that the Torah saves flawed souls. The Torah wasn't written to convict us, but to vindicate us. I don't think there's anything, you know, okay, there's a lot of profound and important things about Dote's life. His mizmor, his mashal, his life provides more insights to life than anyone who ever wrote. But the single most important aspect of Dote, and at least in my opinion, is that because he was a flawed individual, and because Yahweh said he was vindicated, he was right, we know that the Torah wasn't written to convict us, but instead to vindicate us. And it is the perfect antidote to Pauline Christianity as such. So, yes, directly, mankind's perversity was associated with Yosha, so that he suffered Pesach and Matzah on our behalf. Absolutely true. But sin was associated with Dode as well. Now, can you say that when he was burdened with perversity, that Yahweh says, I will resolve the dispute by judging him accusing him so as to manifest vindication through him. You know, I will choose to chastise and correct him, openly presenting the means to dismiss all of the allegations. Well, by choosing this word, we don't have to say that God's going to send him off to suffer Pesach and Matzah. I mean, I love the fact that Yahweh can speak of both branches using the same words, because the very fact that Dod was burdened with perversity, that Yahweh did in fact chastise him. Yahweh did in fact correct him. And Yahweh did openly present the means to dismiss all of the allegations, conveying the evidence and reason to make things right through the words and lyrics of Dod. I mean, isn't it Dod that said, Yahweh, I'm coming to heaven and you can't stop me because I'm taking the Torah with me? So, Dod is, in fact, a fulfillment of this, just as is Yosha. And he's going to vindicate him because of the rods, the weapons, and salves wielded by rulers of nations to punish, kill, and control the races and tribes of mankind, and because of the assault and the plague that has befallen the children of Adam. Dod is the ultimate conveyor of why it's important to form a relationship with Yahweh instead of being religious. Why it is essential to oppose the likes of Shaul, King Shaul, and the wannabe apostle Shaul, and instead to listen to what Yahweh has to say. Because people have turned to rulers, Dod is the perfect antidote for that. To a lesser degree, Yosha is. But it's this plague that has befallen mankind that Yahweh is exposing and remedying through the words of Dod and through the acts of Yosha. Extremely powerful concept. And so, Kirk, you sent me Psalm 119, 30-something. And we're going to come up to 30-something in a moment. But I reread portions of the 119th Psalm because I want to see how I translated it so many years ago, and so we could discuss on this program. And then I realized, you know, what the 119th Psalm does is help to validate that Dod's an extraordinarily important branch on the Tree of Lives, and that he did serve to build the family name, the family home in Yahweh's name, that he did show the way. Yeah, and this is, I want to start at 119:27. Begins, the way of your guidance and direction, Pekud, has caused me to understand, Bien, made it possible for me to be perceptive and discerning. And I ponder and hear your marvelous and miraculous acts, your defining deeds. So, the way of Yahweh's guidance, his instructions, is the source of our understanding, is what it makes it possible for us to take that giant leap from faith to knowing, and from knowing to understanding. Dod says, I will ponder and share your marvelous and miraculous acts. Marvelous and miraculous acts, Pesach, Matzah, Bekodim, Shavuah, Soon, Teruah, and ultimately, Yom Kippurim and Sukkah. Marvelous act that Dod speaks a lot about creation. But Dod begins this section proclaiming something that's profoundly important, that the way to Yahweh is through understanding. And understanding is based on pondering. And when we ponder, and therefore understand, our natural inclinations to do what Doe did, to share what we've learned. Then Doe says, my soul is tired and anxious from being removed and separated. Fulfill your promise to restore me, to establish me, to enable me to stand upright, and then raise me up according to your word. Now, why would Doe say, my soul is tired and anxious? This is the only troubling statement in all of this we're going to go through, but have you ever felt tired and anxious?
Sure.
Yeah, and the reason is that we're still, as was Doe, in this world surrounded by every manner of false testimony, of false claims, of religion and politics and militarism. We're right here in the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
And while we have this direct connection with Yahweh, it's still a long way from having our souls and his presence. And Doe is saying, that's what I'm longing for. I want my soul to be in your presence. And Yahweh can't be present here in three dimensions. And so Doe is looking for Yahweh to raise him up. I think that's what it means. He's yearning for the same thing we yearn for so often. That's why he says, my soul is tired and anxious from being removed and separated. And he says, fulfill your promise. Restore me. Establish me. Enable me to stand upright and raise me up according to your word. You know, Doe's not asking for a special favor. Really not. He's not asking for a special dispensation. If anybody could ask God for a favor, you know, and say, God, you know, I really like the numbers for the lottery coming up. If you give them to me, I'll give you 10% of what we win. You know, if you cure me of this deadly cancer, then I'll devote, 5 minutes of my life to you. No, Doe was in a position. He most certainly could have asked for a special favor, a special dispensation. He says, no. Just do what you promised in your word, which is what he's willing to do and wants to do for all of us. Doe could have had special dispensation, but he did not ask for it. He said, just resolve my issues. Raise me up based upon your words. Doe says, I have chosen, I have decided upon and prefer the way of trusting and relying. Imuna, that which is dependable, unchanging, steadfast, and firm, established, trustworthy, reliable, and true. Your means to achieve justice and resolve disputes, Misfat, I overwhelmingly prefer, and I have placed firmly before me. Mizmor Song, Psalm 119:30. Well, that's the answer. If you want to know the way, it's choosing the path of trusting and relying, especially upon Yah's means to achieve justice and resolve disputes, the Mizvot. Pesach, Matzah, Pekodim, Shavua, Teruah, Kippurim, and Sukkah. That's his means to resolve disputes. His means to resolve disputes is delineated in his Torah guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I overwhelmingly prefer and have placed firmly before me. This is Yahweh's Mizvot. We'd all be wise to do the same. I cling to your testimony, Yahweh, so you cannot delay me or disappoint or be disappointed in me. Oh. Ring the bells for that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Doe was the songwriter of Yisrael. He was Yahweh's favorite son. You think that if anybody could cling to his own testimony, could claim his own merit, it would be Doe. And yet Doe is clinging to Yahweh's testimony. Well, there's a hint for all of us. Because I got news for you. There isn't anybody since Dode, including anyone alive today, that can carry Dode's slingshot, much less his sandals. And those people who think that their words, their testimony, is important, Dode's not saying his is important, and his was important, most important in all of human history. He said, no, I cling to your testimony. Do you ever heard a pope say, I cling to your testimony, Iowa? Do you ever heard of a Christian preacher saying, I cling to your testimony, Iowa? Ever heard a rabbi say, I cling to your testimony, Iowa? Ever have a scholar say, I cling to your testimony, Iowa?
Nope.
No one.
No one.
When was the last time you heard somebody say, I cling to your testimony, Yahweh?
Yeah, you.
Yeah. And what we're doing is reading what was said, because what was said was inspired. Yeah. And because we also have chosen to do so. I cling to your testimony, Yahweh. And then Dode makes a, and I love this about him, because I feel the same way. You cannot delay me or be disappointed in me. It doesn't matter what we do. Our merit, our good deeds, meaningless. If we cling to Yahweh's testimony, then God will, by mandate, God will, by his nature, God will, by his very character, and based on his promises, his being steadfast and unchanging, always reliable and truthful, he absolutely and unequivocally can neither delay our arrival in the seventh dimension, in Shamaim, in the spiritual realm, nor can he be disappointed in us. No matter what I do that's stupid, no matter what I do that's wasteful, no matter what I do that's wrong, Yahweh can't see it. Dode did more wrong than probably all of us combined. Yahweh didn't see it. Was never disappointed in him. He can't be disappointed in any of us because he came up with the means of enveloping us in his light, so all he sees is the goodness in us, the correctness in us, the love in us, the truth in us. But this is the confidence, I think, that you have in a relationship with Yahweh. So no matter who we are or what we say or do, so long as we're totally trusting and relying on him, we cling to his testimony, then we have a direct path to his home based upon his words. And when we arrive, he's not going to judge us. He can open up his arms and hug us and welcome us home. You're not going to see a stern expression to fear, but instead twinkling eyes and a warm smile. Dode is the living embodiment of what Yahweh intended. Then he says, the way of your terms and conditions I will run. I will move quickly, carrying your message as a courier. Indeed, it makes my heart joyful and it opens my heart to this favorable opportunity. So Dode isn't just saying that I'm going to benefit from your terms and conditions. He's taking the next step. Let's share the good news. Let's share the truth. The way of your terms and conditions, I will move quickly, carrying your message as a courier. Roots. Doing so, indeed, it makes my heart joyful. It opens my heart to this favorable opportunity. the more we share what Yahweh has conveyed through the likes of Toad, the happier we are. Because of the profound effect it has on others, and even on us. I think this, then, is the statement that you conveyed. It's just wonderful to read it in context. Without missing a beat, the song continues, Yahweh, please teach me and enable me to learn the way of your prescriptions for living, the choke. Your written, engraved, and inscribed thoughts and recommendations, which allocate a portion or share of that which is yours by cutting me into life in the covenant relationship. And then I will habitually observe it and genuinely and be genuinely saved by her as a benefit until the end of time. It's what Dode wanted. It's what we all want. Yahweh's teaching. His help so that we learn. Insights into his instruction and guidance. You know, I was writing today, and as I said, going over a passage that I had dealt with years ago. And rather than try to edit my commentary on it, I said, let's just talk about the words. Each word one at a time. And the insights were prolific. And again, there were more valued lessons to learn and to share than my fingers could even capture as they flew across the keyboard and trying to get them down. So Dode was observing it, the Torah. And he was therefore saved by it. That's why Natsir is such a wonderful word. It speaks of both observation and of salvation and how one leads to the other. Mm-hmm. And perhaps this is the statement, I guess, maybe that you sent me. Was it 1934?
No, I sent you 33, but I think the eight verses, because they are grouped together, are, if you want to read them, I enjoy it. I've been studying them all week, so.
Yes. You know, the reason I'm just quizzing is that is because 33, the Torah is implied, but not specifically stated.
Right.
And in 34, which is in the same group of eight statements, the Torah is specifically stated.
Right.
So that so that you can imply Torah when it says, I will habitually observe it, that it is the Torah, because of what's written in 34.
Exactly.
34 reads. 34th statement of the 119th Psalm. Please enable me to be perceptive and discerning so that I understand. You know, it's one thing. First thing he said is please teach me and enable me to learn. Mm-hmm. Please enable me to be perceptive and discerning so that I understand. Isn't that the ultimate guide home? We use Yahweh's teaching, his guidance, so that we might know. Then we use our nesama, our consciousness, our conscience, our ability to reason, to be perceptive and discerning, so that we might understand. Know through teaching and guidance, understand by making the proper connections, by thinking rationally. And then I will continually observe and be genuinely saved by Natsar, your New Testament. No, that's not what it says. Jesus. No, that's not what it says. But I thought Jesus saved. That's not what it says. Paul's letters. Hell no. The rabbis. Nope. Allah. Hell no. What is it that those going to observe so as to be genuinely saved? What is it that he used to learn and then understand.
It's all in the Torah.
Torah. T-W-R-H. Torah. Your Torah is speaking to Yahweh. That means it's not Moshe's Torah. It's not the Torah of the rabbis. It's not the Talmud. Your Torah. Your Torah instruction and teaching, your source of guidance and direction, is derived from Tau. Your signed, written, and enduring Torah way of treating me. Tor, giving me the means to explore and seek, to find and to choose. Yara, the source of instruction, teaching, guidance, and direction that flows from you. Which tube provides answers to facilitate my restoration and return, even my response and reply to that which is Tob, good, pleasing, beneficial, favorable, healing, and right, and that which causes me to be loved, to become acceptable, and to endure. And Tarar, and Tohora, purifying and cleansing me, thereby providing me with the opportunity to change my attitude, thinking, and direction. And so that I will actually and consistently observe and genuinely care about her, the Torah. I will continually focus and actually revere her with all my heart, incorporating within her my inner sense to guide my perceptions, my attitude, my ambitions.
How could you not love that guy? How could you not love that guy? Wow.
Well, that's why he loved him.
Of course.
That's the answer. Teach me and help me be perceptive. So I can continually observe and continually be saved by your Torah? Okay. So where did mankind go wrong? How is it that they can lug around a book that contains this statement and discard everything that it conveys? And believe a religion that's the antithesis of this? How in the hell do they do that? It just breaks your heart, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This is the thing about the 119th Psalm is if you read it, it's so abundantly clear. It's so straightforward. It's so profound. Yahweh is establishing his covenant family in his name through the inspired words and life of this man. And it's just so wonderful that this man wasn't good. He was right.
Mm-hmm.
And how important that is. And how this guy went through the same transition that all of us have. You come to Yahweh with your mind by pondering Yahweh's teaching, by observing what he has to say, by learning from him, and then making the connections so that you understand. And then you come to realize is that the God who inspired these words is really fun, lovable, approachable. Somebody you want to spend eternity with. You actually fall in love with him and his message. That's what Dode is saying. He's irresistible. He's lovely. The ultimate companion, the perfect father. Cause me to set out along the path of the terms and conditions of your binding relationship agreement. Indeed, in them I genuinely and totally delight. Dode found the message of the Torah to be uplifting, to be enlightening, to be beneficial, not onerous. He celebrated its message, even and especially its mitzvah, And on every English Bible, wants to render mitzvahs as a commandment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the terms and conditions of the binding relationship agreement. And Dode has come to the conclusion that even the terms and conditions of the covenant are things to celebrate. There isn't a single one of the five that isn't in our best interest, that isn't uplifting and emancipating.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyable. And Dode has come to realize that. He's delighting in it, not burdened by it. Incline my heart to your testimony and not toward ill-gotten gain or dishonesty, which severs and separates. Oh, boy, that's an important message for all of us. If you're making a living serving your God's not God, and you ain't serving the real one. If you're benefiting from, learning from, coming to understand that God that Dode knew, Yahweh, then you want to make certain that you are where Dode was and not trying to make a nickel on it, not trying to profit from it financially. Yahweh's message is not for us to use for financial gain.
Yes.
100% of those who are paid, whether they're priests or popes or rabbis, are working for the wrong team. I am certain that Dode was right. And he not only didn't try to extract profit from these psalms that he was composing and singing, he told Yahweh, don't ever let me go there. Don't ever let me go there. It's rather important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did that program with that fellow that has the Ark to Midnight. I forgot what his name was. But,
yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he ever posted the 3-hour interview that we did.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think he ever posted. And the reason I don't think he posted it, when he told Jerry McLaughlin, our mutual friend, that, you know, that message was really anti-Christian.
Yeah. Everything you said tonight is anti-Christian.
This guy is
true,
because all I'm doing is reading Yahweh's testimony and conveying what it means. And, you know, he's extracting, I think it's $60 a year from at least a half a million people. That's a lot of do-re-mi, isn't it? And most of those people are either Christians or they're political-minded.
Yes. I'm sure they are.
I don't think he wants to risk it. I think he'd rather get paid than convey the truth. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Hope I am.
I think I can speak for all three of us here when I'm saying all three of us have spent more money than we have remotely gained in this pursuit. We've invested money in it, but we have gained way more than the money we invested.
We have not gained a penny financially. Right, not made a penny, and I have spent.
And we have spent a lot.
Tens of thousands, if not well into the hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Conveying it.
I haven't quite spent that much, but.
Yeah, but you know, collectively, we've done a lot.
We have
put money that we have earned elsewhere towards this method. Not that that's important at all. It really isn't. What's important is that we have never solicited anything for doing so. And the very few times that I allowed someone to actually say, you know, if you want to make a contribution on one of the sites, I don't think there's any on either of them now, the contribution was only to promote the message. Never went to our pockets. And that's essential. You know, Moshe didn't profit from it. Dode didn't profit from it. Abraham didn't profit. None of them profited financially. What good is Bunny in the hereafter?
Yeah.
Yeah. What we're gaining is that we're not only benefiting from the five benefits of the covenant to be immortal, perfected, adopted, enriched, and empowered. We benefit even further when we share this message and the family grows, because the more similar souls, more souls who come to know and love Yahweh and His Word that are in the family, the more fun and the more enriched our lives are going to be throughout eternity. But that's essential. If you're making a living serving your God, your God isn't God.
No, stop it now.
Yeah.
Turn away.
So that was Dode's conviction in this regard. Then he says, please stand up, confirm, and establish for your associate your word, which as a result of the relationship is on behalf of and according to your awesome nature. So it's not just that Dode's saying, I don't want to get paid for this, and I don't want any ill-gotten gain. He's actually saying, let's do the right thing together. Let's stand up, confirm, and establish your word, which as a result of the relationship is on behalf and according to your awesome nature. Yahweh's words represent Him. I've said this a gazillion times, and Dode is saying it here. You want to see God? Read His words.
Sorry, yeah.
You want to meet God? Observe His testimony. And so, Dode is saying, I want you to stand me up. I want you to confirm and establish me, your associate, for your words. For your word. Because as a result of this relationship and to show the way, Asher, your word conveys your awesome nature. You know, it's Hebrew. We've talked about it. So many things are wonderful about it, that Hebrew verbs aren't stuck in time. They're true throughout time. They're unlimited in time. The Hebrew verbs have stems that establish a relationship between the subject and the object. The Hebrew words have a mood, first, second, and third person volition. Hebrew words draw pictures which help us understand their meaning. Hebrew words many times have a dichotomy that show the difference in outcomes depending on how one views the testimony. And the more you study it, the deeper you dig, the closer you look, the more awesome Yahweh appears. His words unveil His awesome nature. Yahweh doesn't have to shout from the mountaintop for us to know His nature. He doesn't have to blind us with this brilliant light for us to see His nature. Observe His words, and you will become extraordinarily familiar with His awesome nature. Please pass over and take away while removing my approach and insults, which I anxiously dread, because indeed your means to reconcile disputes is good. Even Dode tripped on his own tongue. I am guilty of this. I led Bible studies. I taught out of Paul's poisonous letters. I was an evangelist. I was a patriotic and political individual. I tripped all over my own tongue. My reproach and insults have to be cleansed away. And that's what Dode is saying as well. And he too had many of them. And he is telling Yahweh, please, pass over. A bar. You know, a bar is actually the basis of Pesach, the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
my reproach and insults, which I anxiously dread. I do too. You know, I dread all the things that I did in my life that were inappropriate, particularly from a religious and political perspective. Because indeed, your means to reconcile disputes is good. Behold, I long for and desire, this is 1940, I long for and desire your precepts, those instructions which you have entrusted to us, encouraging us to pay attention and to examine for guidance so that we respond appropriately to you. Your righteous entrust means to vindicate in them. Be merciful to me. So here's the Yahweh's favorite son saying that he desires Yahweh's pakudim, Yahweh's prescriptions for living, his instructions, his guidance. Because in Yahweh's righteous and just means to vindicate his tzedakah, he knows that Yahweh will be merciful to him just as he is to us. So then, Yahweh, may you arrive and bring me your love and mercy, your salvation accordingly, and according to your word and the fulfillment of your promises. And this is really interesting because in here we have Dode anticipating Yahweh's arrival. Well, Yahweh didn't arrive during the time of Dode, did he?
No.
And Yahweh, while he would arrive via a diminished manifestation of himself as Yosha, and that he did bring salvation with him, and that he was in accord with his word when he did so, Dode wasn't there at the time, was he? Yeah, I think that this is really talking about Yahweh returning in year 6000 Yah and of him reestablishing the kingdom of Dode and them being together, big house and little house, you know, next to one another on the ridgeline of Moriah.
Yes.
So then, Yahweh, may you arrive and bring me your love and mercy, your salvation, according to your word and the fulfillment of your promises. Yeah. Certainly could be talking about 33 CE, year 4000 Yah, but it could also be talking about year 6000 Yah. So, that was a long retreat, if you will, back to the future through the past. The purpose of all of that was to identify why Dode, in fact, could be the individual Yahweh was talking about when it comes to restoring the covenant family in Yahweh's name. And that he's the reason that Yahweh was establishing a seat of honor and reestablishing the kingdom of this man. I'd gladly follow him. I'd sit at his feet and listen to him sing. I'd study right along with him. It'd be like studying beside Einstein if Einstein studied what was really important, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What a treasure.
Yeah, what a treasure. Yeah, so I will actually and always be for him as a father. And he shall always and actually exist for me as a son, which through this association and to show the way, Asher, with him becoming burdened with perversity, I will resolve the dispute by judging him, accusing him, so as to manifest vindication through him. Because of the rods, the weapons that are wielded by the rulers and nations to punish, kill, and control the races and tribes of mankind, and because of the assault and the plague that has fallen upon the children of Adam. Therefore, my steadfast love and enduring mercy will not be removed from him, nor be diminished, as I turned away from and completely rejected any association with Shaul, whom I forsook and totally removed from your presence. Well, my friends, did Yahweh remove Shaul from Yosha's presence?
No, he wasn't there.
Nope.
50 CE, he makes a big splash.
Nope. Right, 50 CE is when he wrote his first letter. Nope, he didn't. So who is he talking about?
I'm a dude.
He is. The beloved.
Three things happened in this that you've read tonight. Number one, it absolutely destroys Christianity.
Yes.
It is indeed the antidote. It proves that he is the Messiah. He is the really anointed one.
Yeah. By the way, Dode is the unquestioned. I mean, there's no question whatsoever that Dode is HaMashiach of Yahweh. Yahweh says so. Now, don't get mad at me for saying it. Yahweh says so. He deliberately says that Dode is his anointed. He never says that about Yosha.
Well, there was the third thing that hit me as I read it during the week, and also as you were reading it now. Almost every verse has something about the mitzvah. If you're looking, if you go to a Christian, I've done it recently, and they want to know more about how to get saved. You know, they comes up no matter what. Well,
always done it for me.
You know, yeah, but through here he tells you, he mentions the mitzvah, and then the pekudim, and the choke, and on and on and on and on. You couldn't miss this. If you were doing this as a rabbi, and I don't know what the hell they're reading from. Obviously, it's not the Torah.
Yeah, Dode occasionally says what's in it for us.
Yeah.
But doesn't Dode really focus on the right thing within it for you?
Absolutely.
And wouldn't we all be better off if we focused on what's in it for you? It's just this whole notion of prayer. It's what God does tell us to pray. Listen to him. He's really smart. He's got our best interest at stake. You know, the thing that just over and over and over strikes me is that we don't have a word recorded in Hebrew of what Yosha said.
Mm-hmm.
The text from the two eyewitnesses to his life are so mangled and so poorly preserved and already butchered in Greek that we don't have very much. And yet we have this wealth of testimony from Dode in the original language. And we know Dode was the Mashiach. It's perfect Yahweh. Yahweh does not want to brag about what he himself has done.
Yeah.
And to the extent that Yosha is the diminished manifestation of Yahweh, for Yahweh's point of view, he says, you know, I made this promise that I'm going to do this, but let's not celebrate that. Let's not focus on that. Let's focus instead on the prime mission, which is to engage and work with and celebrate the relationship with those, who want to be part of the family. That's why Dode is so important. That's why Yahweh is so excited about his relationship with Dode. That's why he's reestablishing the kingdom of Dode, is that the prime objective was to engage and act with the creation such that we would become family and we could do things together as family. And with Dode, he is my son and I am his father. And it all happened because Dode prioritized Yahweh's Torah teaching. He made the connection so as to understand. And he not only responded and acted upon it, he celebrated it. And then shared it with all who would listen. And because of that, Yahweh conveyed probably the most important prophecy that we could ever ponder in a world where Christianity has become the dominant religion. Because of my steadfast love and enduring mercy. I will remove from him and turn away from and completely reject any association with Shaul, if the world would do the same.
Yeah. Only the world would do the same.
The single most disastrous plague that has ever struck humankind is Pauline Christianity. Shaul's poison pen. Because of Yahweh's love for Dode, he totally removed Shaul from his presence. Because of his love for us, he'll do the same. King Shaul does not plague us today. The message Yahweh conveyed through Shamuel does, which is that he said, if you choose, when the people choose a king over me, this is all the horrible stuff that's going to happen to them. It's why you shouldn't choose politics or patriotism or government. But that's indirect.
Mm-hmm.
The direct influence of Shaul is that he created the most popular religion in the history of the world. And that that is the ultimate plague, and Yahweh, because of his great love and mercy, wants to remove that plague from us and from the world. Shaul. Isn't that stunning?
It is. It is.
And how important that message is for us to hear.
Yeah.
How important it is for people to realize that the entire discussion of the first Shaul exists for a singular reason. And that is as a means of prophetic testimony that would encourage the world to reject the wannabe apostle Shaul. Even that one message that Yahweh revealed through Shamuel about the fact that the people were not rejecting the prophet Shamuel, they were instead rejecting Yahweh, and here's the consequence in terms of all of the horrible things the government would bring. Even that was a denunciation of Shaul, because his most famous book is the Ode to the Romans, where he says in the midst of that book, the people should subject themselves to government. The whole thing is a renouncement of the ultimate plague, the author of Christianity, Shaul. And we find it here right before our eyes in the very book that Christians carry around that they say is inspired. Well, gentlemen, we've come to the end of our program. I had a ball. We didn't make a lot of progress based upon where we were a week ago. But nonetheless, we had a good time.
Glad to be back.
Kirk, yeah. It's great to be back with you, JB, and it's I'm so glad that you sent that statement, 119:33. Because, boy, the moment I started reading in context and then read where we were a week ago, they fit together like hand and glove. That's the message that Yahweh gave to us. Yeah. We can learn so much from this man. Because that was God's intent to teach us through him. Well, I wish you all a wonderful evening and a wonderful Shabbat, and look forward to being with you this time a week from now. May God bless.
Talk to you then. Shalom.